Welcome to Energy Matters, where we explore alternative health in the Pioneer Valley. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and I'm a Reiki professional and intuitive in Northampton, Massachusetts. For the past 9 years, I've been teaching people how to use their intuition and helping them reduce stress and anxiety. Together, we'll talk with other practitioners and learn how they bring health and healing to the Pioneer Valley. Let's do this. You are listening to Energy Matters, and I am Caroline Rutterman. Today, we are talking with Kyle Ritchie, who's a Reiki master teacher in Northampton, Massachusetts. He is doing all kinds of great things in this area, doing oncology work, the Mass General Cancer Center at Cooley Dickinson. He's been involved with a cancer connection for a long time, and he's an all-around super talented practitioner. And I would like to introduce you to Kyle Ritchie. So welcome, Kyle.
Hi, Caroline. Thanks for having me today.
Of course. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm a Reiki master teacher who's been living and working in the Northampton area and most of Western Mass. And I've been practicing Reiki for about 20 years now, after my very first class when I was 7, up until this very moment, now working with oncology at Cooley Dickinson Hospital through the Massachusetts General Cancer Center, and also with Cancer Connection as a subcontractor as well. My entire experience with Reiki has had cancer at its heart. So my mother actually learned Reiki to help my older sister who had a recurrence of leukemia.
Oh, wow.
And she was in her early teens. And so really the treatments had a profound effect on her, her standard treatments in terms of, you know, anxiety and extreme fatigue and things like that.
Absolutely.
So Reiki was an opportunity for my mother to be able to help her kind of manage through all of these other things that were going on. So to that effect, she came home after her first class and was just so excited to share the vibration of Reiki with
Yes.
me and my other siblings. And as soon as I felt it, I like really felt it. And it was probably the strongest I ever felt anything at such a young age. And so I actually demanded that she teach me how to do it. And so
teach me now.
Essentially, yeah. So for my 7th birthday, I sat through an 8-hour adult class because she wasn't taught how to train children.
Of course.
And I just absorbed it all. And I basically did a 9-year familial style apprenticeship with her, receiving my master teacher certification in 2007.
Wow. That's very impressive. And I have to say that, you know, I feel like the when we learn from a family style, sometimes it's a little bit more casual. Sometimes we don't listen to what our parents have to say. But, you know, you absorbed this work. You just took it on very quickly and easily, as it is, you know, natural for kids.
Well, I think the best way to teach somebody something that they're truly going to value is to start when they're young, so that way they can really have that personal exploration and experience that they're continuously building off of, you know, as well as being accompanied by a strong support system like family and others who are encouraging and, you know, they're learning along with you too.
Yeah, that's really cool. So tell me a little bit about what is your understanding? You know, there's that big question of what is Reiki? I feel like that is the number one question around kind of communicating what it is that we do. Like, what, in your understanding, is Reiki?
Well, there are kind of two ways that you can go about the initial explanation of that. One is that Reiki means, in Japanese, universal life force energy. So the term Reiki seeks to describe the essence of what this energy is that's being worked with for a health benefit, in addition to also describing specifically the Japanese technique of applying said energy. So Reiki is, like I said, very specifically the Japanese system of applying this energy. Mm-hmm. It was from a specific tradition that was developed by Dr. Mikao Usui in the early 20th century. And from there, we have Reiki as we've ended up with today through Westernization in the 70s and Reiki being brought to the United States by Hayao Takada. This energy field is believed to suffuse all things. Anything that's alive, the ambient energy that's around us, it's essentially a byproduct of life existing. And to this effect, you know, being living systems ourselves, we need to maintain and regulate and balance this energy to make sure that it has optimal flow without any obstruction. in order to maintain peak health, both mentally, emotionally, and physically. So Reiki is an excellent tool for being able to work on health in all of these levels, accentuating other forms of standard treatment, be it, you know, psychiatry, surgery, you know, pharmacology, things like that, and really trying to achieve homeostasis in the body because the body is so excellent at healing itself.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how do we find where we have imbalances in our mind or emotions or spiritual side? What does that mean to have an imbalance in those spaces, and how do we fix that?
Well, the real key to being able to identify when a person has an imbalance, either themselves or another individual, is really to just cultivate a deeper awareness of the self and a deeper awareness of others. If we find that we are consistently stressed, we can see where places in our physical body actually hold on to that stress. For instance, a lot of people will hold, you know, when they get really stressed, like that tension that will kind of creep into their gut or their abdomen, or, you know, kind of creeping up into their neck and shoulders where they just feel that profound tension. So that's actually a really good way to initially start identifying where your own imbalances are and how they manifest in the physical body.
So those tight places.
Those tight places, yeah.
Those aches and pains.
Or like when we experience a very specific kind of emotion, like what that emotion does to us physiologically. Like if we get angry and upset, do we like flush with heat? Do we get like a coolness that creeps into our system instead? Are there certain things that trigger us in specific ways? And those are all indicators of how an imbalance is affecting us and where it can be worked with. Luckily, with Reiki, there's also a really good system of being able to identify where imbalances are most likely to occur via the chakra system and other practitioners who work with the meridian system as well. Through an awareness and an understanding of these types of energetic anatomical systems, we can really track and use general interview with clients and patients to see what's presenting in their lives and how that's affecting them. And then there are go-to places in the body where hand positioning and treatments are encouraged for those kinds of issues.
Sure. So we do have a pretty savvy listening audience as people are driving around listening to Energy Matters. But I would like to ask you a little bit more about what are the meridians and what are the chakras and what is this whole thing that you're talking about with the energy body and energetic anatomy, as you call it. Can you talk a little bit more about that? I know that's a very big subject.
Sure.
But can you break it down a little bit for us in case anyone doesn't understand?
Absolutely. So I think that the best place to begin is actually with the chakra system. So chakra is a Sanskrit word, which means like wheel of light, essentially. So it's you can think of them as the main seven chakras being in line with the spine, starting at the tailbone and ascending through the spine, cresting at the top of the head. And so the easiest way to think of these is as gears in our particular system responsible for maintaining our energetic tuning. Think of like a large mechanical clock. You need to make sure those gears are clean, that there's no obstructions in them, so that way they can keep perfect time and can serve the function that they exist for. So in Reiki, you know, the chakra system is worked with very easily and very effectively to clear away those types of blockages to keep that, you know, energetic clock running in a person.
Keep those gears moving.
Exactly.
That's what's up.
And then the meridian system. Meridian is actually a word that means disease line. Not disease line. It's a line of energy. So you can think of them most easily as like a circulatory system throughout our entire body that is responsible for governing certain types of energy that correspond to specific organs, as well as other types of emotions, which are also governed by those same meridians too. So those lines seek to act like circuitry within our system, and we need to keep those circuits clear and polished, if you will, so that way they can be most conductive to circulating that energy in an even and balanced way throughout the person's entire system.
Fabulous. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Energy Matters, and we are here interviewing Kyle Ritchie, who's a Reiki master teacher in Northampton. And why is it important to maintain balance within our energy systems? Because, you know, I think that there's a lot of people who can go about their day-to-day life and have no knowledge about any of this stuff. And, you know, as my dad would say, I'm fine. You know, they can just live their lives and do their thing. And, you know, how can we incorporate this if we're kind of just, you know, living our lives? Like, how do we, like, why is this important for us to know about our energetic systems? How can this benefit us?
Well, whether we seek to acknowledge or understand the energetic systems in our body or not, we experience the effects of imbalances no matter how we're aware of them. So if you are a person who is consistently, you know, drinking 6 cups of coffee a day, really pushing themselves without giving any type of rest to, you know, attend a job that is not nourishing them in any way beyond finances, that's a very distinct type of imbalance of energy that's building up in that person's body. And they may be able to do that for 5 years or longer and not realize how much of a toll it's actually taking on them. It doesn't have to necessarily be a physical toll on the body, but certainly a toll on a person's mental and emotional state, and also in the relationships with people that they have around them. We know when somebody is consistently stressed or anxious or has frustration with all kinds of things. Yeah, exactly. And so there's all kinds of opportunities for that person's own inner experience of their world to spill over into other relationships too. So, you know, coming home from a job that you're not particularly fond of after you've been really pushing yourself regardless of burnout, that's going to put a strain on the way that you communicate with the people that you love and that you cohabitate with. And it might even be, you know, the difference between having a kind word for somebody out in public or telling them to move out of the way with frustration that actually isn't warranted to that person at all.
It's just flinging off in a different direction.
Exactly.
So how does Reiki help us navigate all this stress and anxiety and tricky work situations or relationships? How does this technique help us when we sort of have these stress levels? Like, how does that work?
Well, Reiki is really excellent because when you're first being taught level one Reiki, your primary goal is to learn how to work on yourself. So anybody who is a Reiki practitioner can actually go in and can calm areas of stagnant or frustrated energy and clear blockages like that. And it's a really important part of the modality of being able to actually sense and feel where those imbalances are occurring to be able to touch them directly. Through the philosophy of energetic-based modalities, the types of anxiety, you know, stress, discomfort that we feel has a direct presentation within our energetic system. So those techniques that you are able to learn and develop are being able to actually take your healing and mental well-being into your own hands. And for those who are not practitioners themselves, simply going to a practitioner and having the experience is really excellent. You know, there's a lot of different aspects of healing that occur alongside of a treatment that are not just the treatment themselves. I find that sometimes the intake and outtake from a treatment is actually some of the most important aspects. It might be the first time that a person is actually able to fully share what's going on for them.
Yeah.
It might also be the first opportunity that they've had to actually really reflect on everything that they've been experiencing and going through too.
Absolutely.
And so being a witness to the different ways that people are living their lives and their stresses and their worries and being able to support them with a safe container like that is really where the healing process begins. The actual Reiki treatment itself is almost more like mechanics, going in and just making the shifts and the adjustments that are necessary so that way the client or individual's intentions can actually be made manifest. You're actually working in concert with the person that you're treating. You're not ever doing anything to them.
Oh, that's a really, really interesting way of looking at that. That's really cool. And I think it's really interesting to kind of think about that as it applies to how you said, kind of bringing it back, how your mom was using this to support your sister going through leukemia. And, you know, I think that that's, you know, that emotional component of when we do get stressed and when we are worrying, there's another tool that we can use for ourselves and for our loved ones all around us. And, you know, that self-care aspect is monumental.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my mother was thrilled when she found out the first day of her class that she was going to learn how to work on herself before anybody else.
Yes.
It was almost like, oh, finally.
Yes, finally I have something. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what drew me to Reiki, too. I was always loving the fact that I could treat myself and having that stress relief. And, I mean, it took me years and years to actually feel what was going on, but I always felt better. I always knew that there was a shift between before and after.
Right. It's almost like meditation. You know, you can meditate and just try and bring a calmness or an observation to your own thoughts. And you may not feel like you're experiencing a lot in the 15 minutes that you're sitting there with awareness, but the effects that you feel afterwards can be quite profound.
Absolutely.
Just the type of almost like a Zen quality that creeps in, a centeredness into your being. And really, that's just the tip of the iceberg for what people can achieve when they just spend the time to cultivate internal awareness and feeling how shifts can be made.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that really speaks to the spiritual component of having this practice, of similar to a meditation or a yoga practice. It's that sort of internal awareness and that connection to ourselves. And that's huge.
Yeah.
You can't buy that.
Not at all.
Yeah. Well, you can. You can take a Reiki class with Kyle. So tell me a little bit more about the connection. When you were a kid, you were telling me that at age 7, you took an adult class.
Mm-hmm.
So adults and children have very different learning styles.
Mm-hmm.
How on earth did you sit through a class with adults what was that like? Tell me about that experience.
Well, honestly, it was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be because ever since I was a very small child, even prior to me learning Reiki, I'd always had this deep fascination for anything that seemed mystical or had these kind of secret traditions behind it.
Yeah.
I've always loved a good mystery, and I had been reading consistently since the age of 4. So being able to touch base on aspects in real life that were mirrored in some of the fantasy books that I was reading as a child was what really captivated and held my attention. And it really just made it easier to go through the whole process because I was already deeply engaged on just a personal interest level.
You're like, I love dragons, I love Reiki, and bring it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the first time I ever got to experience, you know, what every child considers magic.
It does. I think it feels like having magic in your hands after your first Reiki class. There's all those sensations. You feel that flow of energy. It's really, it is. It feels like you just all of a sudden got signed up for Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
And, you know, taking the class as a child, it really was, you know, about how the information was presented. The information can be presented to an adult, to a child, the same exact information, but it's the manner in which it's communicated.
Oh, yes.
So, for instance, as a child, it wasn't exactly beneficial for me to be sitting through handouts and diagrams of different things. It was really about, okay, we're going to have a person lay here for you, and I'm going to show you where all of these things are. This is how it's actually supposed to be done in this particular way. And, you know, there was some coloring involved, too, through going over the bioelectric energy field and the chakra systems and things like that.
You had coloring in your class?
I had coloring in my class.
Wow, that is a pretty cool teacher.
Yeah. I learned from my mother.
That makes sense.
And she's still teaching. If anybody is interested in ever having a treatment or a class with her, her name is Nancy Carter Price, and she teaches here in Northampton.
And she is a lovely person. I've met her many times. Mm-hmm. And yes, she's a very talented woman. And you are tuned in to Valley Free Radio 103.3. So, and we are chatting with Kyle Ritchie today, who is a Reiki master teacher. And welcome, Kyle.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So tell us, so we've been talking a little bit about how you got into Reiki, learning this technique when you were 7 years old, which I think is so cool, through your mom and, you know, kind of bringing that that Reiki practice right back into your family training and just bringing that almost as a lifestyle that you grew up with. So how did you transition from doing this work at home and in your family to all of a sudden working with the cancer connection and with oncology? What was your journey like in that, bringing that into more of a modern environment?
Well, honestly, my mother, Nancy, she is one of the creators and directors of the monthly Reiki Night program at Cancer Connection.
Oh.
So my initial entryway into working with Cancer Connection and cancer patients specifically was moving furniture to actually make room to accommodate this community offering once a month.
Oh, funny.
And so it was actually a few months of me just going to help with setup and takedown until we had, you know, a couple practitioners unable to make it one night. So I kind of got tapped as a reserve practitioner.
Yes.
And so I found that it was really enjoyable being able to see a lot of people very quickly. and to just be able to interact with people who had a whole array of different types of, you know, physical, mental, and emotional challenges as part of their cancer treatment. And, you know, some of the people we were working with, too, weren't just cancer patients, but also their caregivers, which is an excellent service, too. We tend to think about the people going through the actual diagnosis more than the people who have to kind of hold everything together on the home front and make sure that everybody is supported throughout all of that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, through this introduction to Cancer Connection, I was able to start working with cancer patients on a monthly basis and found that it just worked really well with like my style and my natural inclinations towards medicine and anatomy. And, you know, I had believed when I was much younger that I wanted to be a doctor, but I think that I ended up, you know, being in the medical practice in a way that is truly more suited to my nature through this, through Reiki.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm still able to apply a lot of the same information. So I also find that cancer is such a multi-layered type of experience for a lot of people.
Big time.
That it's not just a physical, you know, impact. It's a deep emotional, a mental impact, and sometimes a spiritual impact too. People throw their hands up in the air and they say, why me? You know, what did I do to deserve this? And so being able to work with cancer patients and caregivers on every level that Reiki is capable of influencing for a positive benefit was really deeply rewarding and helped further a lot of my education through direct experience.
Wow. That's really, really cool. So tell us a little bit more about, so you got started at the Cancer Connection, setting up, moving furniture, and then you started transitioning to working directly on the Reiki Share or the Reiki Circle at the Cancer Connection. Can you tell us a little bit about what they do, what that organization does on the whole, in case anyone doesn't know, because it is such a great organization. So can you just give us a tiny little bit of background about what Cancer Connection is?
Absolutely. So Cancer Connection is a nonprofit which is located here in Northampton, Massachusetts on Locust Street, actually right across the street from Cooley Dickinson Hospital.
Ah.
And a lot of people joke there saying that, you know, we're a living room with a heart kind of thing, because really it's set up in a way to be as completely the opposite of clinical as possible, to really make people feel like they are at somebody's home, might even be their own home, where they feel safe and comfortable with being able to express what's going on for them and to be able to get information about, you know, different types of programs and services, as well as information about the nature of their diagnosis and what types of treatment options are out there. They offer an enormous amount of support groups for all various forms of cancer and for survivors and caregivers as well. And they have been offering integrative therapies to assist people going through cancer as well as their caregivers. So a lot of what they do now is primarily support, but also the availability of Reiki treatments, cranial sacral therapy, acupuncture, massage, reflexology.
Flower arrangements.
Huh?
Flower arrangements.
Oh, I didn't see that one yet.
Yeah, it might be one of those kind of seasonal classes or something, but yeah.
Yeah, and there's like kayak groups. There's all kinds of, you know, trips that you can take through Cancer Connection as well. And I'd say that the main goal of Cancer Connection is to let people realize that this doesn't have to be it. There's life with cancer and there's life after cancer as well. And being able to figure out how to best engage that and to make sure that we're able to hold on to that hope of being able to move through and to move through with strength and support.
That's really cool. So when you're working alongside people that are going through cancer and treatments and that whole emotional, spiritual, physical changes and all that stuff, how do you take care of yourself during that time? I know a really common, this is sort of a twofold question, because one, I want to know how you take care of yourself, but a question that I get all the time is, does my energy stick to you? You know, does that stress fling onto you? What does that look like for you?
Well, I'd like to just remind anybody who's listening that Reiki, the technique and the modality, is actually specifically designed where the practitioner's energy is not really ever coming into play. I'm never giving of my own personal reserves of energy to bring about or produce a change in another person. It's really about using this universal life force energy to have a dialogue and a discussion with the energy of the client.
Yeah.
And so through this dialogue, you're able to seek balance. And there's no taking on of anything from a client or a patient. There's no, you know, projection of anything that is the practitioners themselves. So it's really kind of a one-way street in terms of the way that the energy actually flows. But there is a little bit of energetic hygiene, which is good to practice.
Of course.
And it's as simple as, I think, finding a place in your mind where you can actually assert to yourself that this is the treatment for this time with this person and remaining fully present for that. So after the treatment is done and over with, you can close that like you would a book that you're done with, and you can stick it on the shelf. It's not bringing anything that's residual home with you or, you know, into your system in any way.
That's really cool. That's a really great way to describe that. Just close the book, put it on the shelf, and when you move on, you move on.
And a nice shower at the end of the day is always really good too.
Water is very cleansing. Absolutely. So what is it about as an adult that really drew you to this population?
Well, really, it was a lot of my experience through my teenage years of these were the clients that I was working on the most. I was too young to actually have a private practice of myself. Can't imagine putting, you know, a sandwich board out on a street at the age of 14.
That's pretty young.
So through this volunteer work, it was a really nice way to begin working with actual consistent group of people. And I found that through working with cancer patients specifically, that I had more of a knack of working on the physical aspects of healing through energy work, more so than the mental or emotional aspects of healing. So really, I derive a lot of pleasure from being able to help patients who are undergoing cancer treatment because it's such a multifocal experience for me as a practitioner and for them as a client. There's just so much to be engaged in, to be aware of, that you're really able to see the full holistic impact of a modality like Reiki and other energetic modalities, and that constant relationship and flux back and forth between, you know, physically dominated intentions and goals for a treatment versus the more emotional and mental. You really get to see how it's a full concert that's happening at once for a person, and being able to work with that evenly can produce really profound effects. And so I find it to be very deeply rewarding, and I've never really entertained the idea of working with much of any other type of population.
That's
I've kind of found my spot.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's really, really cool. So you're currently working as the Reiki practitioner at Mass General Cancer Center at Cooley Dickinson. And, you know, I more and more there are these paid Reiki practitioners, paid Reiki positions that are starting to crop up in hospitals all across the country. You know, for years and years, we've had self-employment and teaching, and, you know, there's always going to be that private practice side of things. Mm-hmm. But it's really, really beautiful to start seeing this as part of integrative medicine. And integrative medicine, as we describe it, is this idea that traditional Western medicine pairing with these alternative modalities, Reiki, massage therapy, chiropractic, acupuncture, these are all coming into the hospital space to kind of recognize the fact that there are more than just the physical sides of healing, and that people are healthier when they relieve their stress.
Absolutely.
And all of that syncs up a lot easier when we're calm.
Right.
So how did this job come about? Tell us how that path kind of, how that river flowed for you.
Well, the integrative oncology program has been brought about by Dr. Lindsay Rockwell, and she really wanted to get this started because of patient demand and of her personal philosophy in medicine of if it does no harm. If a treatment, if a modality is not capable of doing harm to the patient, and it would have a better impact for their, you know, quality of life and their overall care, why not? Why not give the patients what they're looking for, and to make that have a better impact on all the other types of treatment that they're receiving as well? you know, we had talked about, you know, integrative medicine versus alternative medicine, and I really am working to try and help shift the terminology around things like that, because I think that anything that has been deemed an alternative medicine by its very definition is something separate from standard care. Mm. I think that a better way of speaking about things is through integration or complementary modalities, things that work in a synergistic way with, you know, standard allopathic care. Because we never want to ever encourage anybody to seek alternative treatments unless, I want to phrase this properly. We always want to encourage people to seek standard, trusted clinical care that's accentuated by other types of modalities, and to really see the marriage.
Go see your doctor first.
Yes, yeah. See your doctor first. Always confer with them. Let them know what types of complementary and integrative therapies that you're receiving, because that's actually how we're going to start shifting things in the medical system as well, is if we're working collaboratively, you know, practitioners of acupuncture and Qigong and Reiki, you know,
absolutely,
being able to work alongside actual physicians and surgeons and things like that.
And tell your doctors, if you guys love Reiki, tell your doctors, because the nurses get it. I teach nurses all the time. They are on the ground. They understand how these things are happening. But tell the doctors, because they're sometimes the last people. They're all kind of scientists. Anytime you walk into a hospital, they all like to see the effects and see how things are working. But it really does help to have the consumer demand aspect. That's how we are being brought into these hospitals, into these spaces. So it's really, really important to bring that in.
And we also can't forget the volunteers. You know, we
Absolutely.
Talk about people who are starting to now have paid positions in medical facilities doing this type of work. You know, there have been volunteers in hospitals all across the country for, you know, well over 20 years,
yep,
providing different types of energetic modalities. And they are doing it out of a sense of service,
yeah,
of needing to actually be effectively helping people out,
yeah,
there in the world with what they're good at. And so for them, you know, employment in that regard is not necessarily the main focus. And so,
yeah,
really it's the volunteers that have helped pave the way for a lot of other practitioners who are able to receive, you know, compensated positions.
Yeah.
And also that's oftentimes the first experience that people have with Reiki in a medical facility is through the graces of a volunteer.
Yeah, absolutely. I do know that there is this number is increasing every year, but there is definitely over 75 registered Reiki programs in hospitals just in the U.S. alone. So Cooley Dickinson has one. There are several out in Boston that have Reiki programs, and it's a blend of the Reiki volunteers. It's a blend of the paid positions. I am up at Bay State Franklin and Greenfield in their oncology department. So these are coming in a big way. And, you know, it's really exciting. It's a very exciting time to be feeling this Reiki flow coming in.
And it's actually kind of fun, too, because you get to see how many employees are actually practitioners as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you get to see all the Reiki practitioners who are nurses kind of come out of the woodwork
once
there's a program that's begun to be established.
Yeah.
And so it's really just a way of making people feel comfortable with having that kind of transparency. People think like, oh, well, there isn't, you know, as much concrete study behind these types of modalities, so I'm going to kind of play it a little bit on the downside a little bit and keep it not as out front or not offer it necessarily. But there are people coming forward who are like, hey, you know, I'm a level two. I've been a nurse for 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you're having a really hard time right now. Is it okay if I just hold your hand for a couple minutes?
Yeah.
And so really, Reiki and energy modalities are an excellent way of just transmitting direct compassion for the overall well-being of a patient.
Yeah. Oh, that's said beautifully.
Thank you.
If you're tuning in, you're listening to Energy Matters. I'm Caroline Rutterman. We are interviewing Kyle Ritchie today, who's a Reiki Master teacher, and he is working at the Mass General Cancer Center at Cooley Dickinson as a Reiki practitioner, and we're talking about integrative medicine. So how long has this program, the integrative medicine program at Cooley Dickinson, been going on? What's can you tell us a little bit about you said Lindsay Rockwell was the MD who really believed in this idea of why not?
Exactly. Yeah. So this program, has been, it'll be 2 years this January that I have been practicing treatments on patients.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So it's still a fairly new program. Right now we have oncology massage and Reiki as the primary modalities, but we're also looking to add acupuncture as part of the modality list that's available to patients. And the whole integrative oncology program is built upon a vision of providing quality, compassionate care to anybody going through the difficulties of cancer. And so to that end, it's really just about compassion. It's really about infusing every aspect of the work, every patient experience with as much compassion and understanding as we can. So Reiki and massage are an excellent way for people to feel heard, for them to be able to fully open up in a way that's not just like looking at prescriptions and lab results and things like that. It's actually checking in with how are you in addition to what's going on. Mm. So this program, even though it's still fairly new, has been very popular. It's been, you know, about a year and a half that I've been working with patients, and I've performed over 560 documented treatments on patients alone.
Cool.
And it's also nice because I have slots at the end of all of my shifts reserved specifically for staff members who could benefit from those treatments too. So it's, you know, a two-fronted kind of presentation of what's going on, because we're providing care to the patients directly in addition to helping educate other staff members and making sure that they're taken care of too. Mm. So that way, you know, your nurse, even though she may be so perfectly on top of everything at work, there could be stuff going on at home that's impacting her ability to feel good at work and to feel proud of what they're doing. And so I like to help with that too.
Yeah. So can you tell us more about what you said it sounds like you have appointments there, mm-hmm. or slots as you described them.
Yep.
If somebody is going through cancer treatment and they're in your department at Cooley Dickinson or at Mass General Cancer Center at Cooley Dickinson, can you tell us what that would look like? Do you have a private space? Is it, can you just kind of give us a rundown of what it looks like from a patient's perspective?
Absolutely. So any patient who is in active cancer treatment is entitled to complimentary services through the Integrative Oncology Program.
I like that you describe it as entitled.
Yes.
It's like, you deserve this.
Absolutely. So I work 2 days a week, you know, every Tuesday and Thursday. And so I have half hour time slots available for appointments with patients. And it really depends upon what that individual patient is going through in terms of their treatment as to how we work together. There's kind of a nice even split as to me working in the actual infusion suite in the chairs that people are receiving their chemo and their injections. So it's actually really nice to be able to go and break up somebody's day if they're there for a 4-hour transfusion or infusion. Exactly. And so I'm able to work with them directly in a place of comfort to actually brighten their experience as to what might, you know, be going on for them. They might have had like a really horrible day, you know, prior to this, or they just might be so fatigued from their actual treatment that it's enough of a boost to really help see them through the rest of the day and the rest of their treatment.
Cool.
Conversely, I have patients who are pre or post-operative, people who are, you know, going through radiation therapies as well, or, you know, pharmacology, you know, aspects, you know, taking prescriptions for their treatment. And, you know, for people like that who aren't actively receiving infusions or transfusions, I do have a private space that I'm able to work with them in. And, you know, it's nice. It's a clean room. We're able to dim the lights. And I have a really awesome zero gravity chair that people just absolutely love. I've had to, you know, give out so much information to people just where they could get their own. And so it's really nice because it's a room that's not an exam room. It's not clinical. It's more of like an interview room, like you'd have like with a social worker, kind of. You know, you feel in, you come in and you can feel at ease, you can feel comfortable, and you can share everything that you need to, and then still get the care and treatment that you need as well.
Nice. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really cool. Well, we're going to take a short break. Is there anything else that you wanted to say about... Oh, well, I actually do have one more question. I know you said you do get to treat staff there. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten to treat the nurses and the doctors, and what are their responses to this as medical professionals?
When I actually first got hired, it was about 4 months before I actually started working with patients. And so for the first couple months, I was working with just staff members directly, kind of, you know, getting the information out to them, the experience out to them, without it just being contained in a brochure or an informational packet. Yeah. Right. And so the most common exclamation that people really make when they're receiving Reiki is, are your hands really that hot?
Mm-hmm.
And I can be touching them. I could be off body. It doesn't really matter. The heat and the tactile experience is always there. And I feel like that's the most profound, you know, revelation to people who have not encountered Reiki, that there's something going on here. And so I'd primarily be doing very short treatments just to help with relaxation. Maybe somebody has like a muscle they pulled from working out, and, you know, working in concert with their intentions was able to help them really realize where the benefit was coming through and how effective it can be for certain things. Okay. I always try and chase down staff members who I know are having a hard time because they don't let themselves have what they need.
Yeah.
And so I like to remind them that this is available to them if they absolutely need it. And it's actually cultivated a really great culture in the cancer center specifically, and a really good sense of camaraderie amongst the different staff members, and also helping to build staff and patient relationships too, because they can discuss the experience that they've had individually or together.
Yeah.
And so it's a really nice cohesive experience for everyone.
That's so cool. I love it. I love it so much. You are listening to Energy Matters at 103.3 WXOJ, Northampton. So we are interviewing Kyle Ritchie today, who's a Reiki master teacher. And we're talking about his, we just kind of finished talking about his work at the Mass General Cancer Center at Cooley Dickinson, his work with a Cancer Connection, which is a local sweetheart charity, and our nonprofit, I should say. And, you know, his work around oncology is just so important, mental, emotional, spiritual levels for people, and, you know, the caregivers, doctors and the nurses, and, you know, all our loved ones, they need that love too. So Kyle, you were telling me earlier that when you learn Reiki, I think it's important to acknowledge this. I think that it's almost like a gateway to learning about meditation or yoga. There are these sort of, Reiki is a really simple way of getting into this whole wide world of energy healing and these systems of care and balance. And you were telling me a little bit about your upcoming venture with medical Qigong.
Yeah. So Reiki is really, like you said, an excellent gateway for people to actually take into their own hands these esoteric concepts that we often are attracted to but don't have a lot of ease in understanding initially. So Reiki is specifically like a Japanese technique for using energy to heal, and it, you know, Reiki describes both the energy that's utilized as well as the technique itself. However, you know, Reiki, having been formatted by Dr. Usui in the early 20th century, is something that's come about much later than other systems, for instance, in China, where they fully acknowledge qi as a vital force within the human body and has a direct impact on health.
Mm.
So for about like 4,000 years, external medical qigong has been a standard practice in China in terms of treating people with various health problems, be it physically, mentally, or emotionally. And so the main difference, it's the same exact energy that's being utilized in medical Qigong versus Reiki. It's really just about how that energy is being implemented.
Mm.
Reiki tends to focus more heavily on the Hara system in the traditional Japanese Reiki, as well as in westernized Reiki, which focuses more heavily on the Vedic system of the chakras.
Right.
In external medical Qigong, the easiest way to think about what that looks like is acupuncture without needles. The actual practitioner is kind of the needle that's producing the energetic shift in that body, working specifically with the meridians and treating specific points to produce certain effects. So I find that, you know, just from having learned various acupuncture points, I'm able to get better results from working with my patients than if I treated just the physical area itself, or if I'm working just specifically on a chakra that governs that system.
It's deepening your knowledge.
Exactly. And oftentimes working with the meridian system can produce, you know, better physical results just through the sheer categorization of these points and how they pertain to physical health in the body. So it really gives you a nice way to map out your full treatment plan and have something to be able to reflect and go back to consistently, and also really knowing what is working specifically and what isn't. So I am going to be making the grand adventure into studying medical Qigong, hopefully in the the coming year in January, and that'll be in New York City, studying with the Three Treasures Healing Institute that's there.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
That is very exciting. Are you moving down to New York, or are you going to be doing a commuting thing?
I'm going to be doing a great little commute every other month or so.
Ah, that's not so bad.
Not at
I
all.
Love the drive to New York, so it's either 2.5 or 4 hours, one or the other.
Well, I'm hoping to take the train myself.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Very cool. So how does, I found that in my own practice, the more that I learn about the energy systems, the other healing modalities that I tend to take workshops around, it all tends to kind of fold together with Reiki. And I just, there's something really magical about, and I know that, you know, it's easy to kind of, you know, talk about the more language of, you know, when we're working in hospitals and kind of keeping it a little bit more, keeping our language cleaner in that setting so that we don't scare anyone away. But there is a little magic to Reiki. And, you know, and that was sort of your early childhood interest too.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about how there is, how this integration works when we learn other modalities? Maybe you can talk a little bit about any other personal experiences you have and how Reiki blends and folds in nicely with other modalities that we already know and practice.
Well, Reiki is wonderful because anybody can learn Reiki. It mm-hmm. doesn't take a person with special talent or ability or with prior knowledge. I mean, I feel like I'm perfect proof of that, having learned at the age of 7. So really, it's a modality that's formatted to be utilized by anyone at any stage of life and in any quality of life as well. It's, you know, I firmly believe that every single person should learn how to do Reiki, if only to work on themselves.
Yeah.
And so with Reiki, you're able to, in a tactile way, interact with this energy in a way that's very perceivable to you as a practitioner and also very easily perceived by the client or patient that you happen to be working on. And it's so easy that it's really easy to get comfortable with it, where things that seem more esoteric start making a little bit more sense. It's a really good way to kind of push out the boundaries that we've created in our own minds about what is or isn't possible or acknowledged, and being able to entertain notions of other benefits and other modalities as well. And since the awareness that is instilled through the Reiki attunement and the training process, you're able to transfer all that same awareness to other types of modalities too. Definitely there's special, you know, training that you need to utilize when you're doing acupuncture, for instance, because you're working with, you know, actual manipulation of tissues and the insertion of needles. But other modalities are really centered just around energy movement and the ability to perceive that energy. Specific techniques may come in to play at certain times, but really it's that awareness and the ability to interact that makes all modalities more easy to comprehend and utilize from
Very
a Reiki
cool.
perspective.
Very cool. So we're about closing up now on our Energy Matters show today. Can you tell people where they are able to find you if they're interested in receiving a Reiki treatment from you?
Absolutely. So I do have a private practice here in Northampton located at 35 State Street. And so the easiest way to reach me as I'm in the process of creating my website is through email. My email is richie.arcana@gmail.com. And you can also give me a phone call. It's 413-272-5495. And you can also find information about me if you happen to be a cancer patient in the area or the caregiver of somebody who is a cancer patient through contacting Cancer Connection, located here on Locust Street in Northampton, as well as the Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center at Cooley Dickinson Hospital.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking about your passions.
It was
and
a real
all
pleasure.
This great work that you're doing. And have a great rest of your evening. All right. Take care.